Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45.
Morning. You can turn your Bibles to actually Proverbs chapter 18, starting out in verses 6 through 7 this week. It's good to have my parents here this morning. They like to pop in every now and then to see us and to see the boys, so it's good to have them here. Proverbs 18, 6 through 7 to begin. That's the place that we're going to start this morning, but we're going to be jumping around a little bit. We're taking a short summer break from the Gospel of John. So we've been in the Gospel of John. Well, we're going to take a short break as we're going to be doing a study through the major themes found in the book of Proverbs. So it's going to be just a six-week mini-series covering topics such as words, family, friendships, money, work, life and death. If you remember last summer, I covered Proverbs chapters 1 through 9. And chapters 1 through 9 of Proverbs, you can kind of work through chapter by chapter pretty easily. But once you get to chapters 10 through 31, it's very sporadic Proverbs. And so that's why I'm going to be doing more topical through Proverbs this summer. If you remember, last summer I promised that part 2 of the Proverbs series would come, and here we are. So today's topic is our words. Are you ready to be challenged? Are you ready to be challenged? I'm serious. Because if you think about it, we use a lot of words. In a study published in 2007, it declared that the average person speaks about 16,000 words a day. That's a lot of words. Now, of course, some people speak more than others. I'm more on the quieter side, so I would speak less than some other people. But that's still a lot of words. When they did this study, they found that one very extremely quiet guy spoke only 500 words in a day. But then on the opposite side, there was somebody that spoke a whopping 45,000 words in one day. I was curious to how many words I spoke just in my sermon last week, and it was about 3,600 words. And so that was just my sermon last week. So if you think about it, one of the reasons why our words get us into so much trouble is because we speak so much. But the thing is, you think about our modern digital age, words aren't only spoken. Think about the words that you text, that you type on a computer. It's written, typed, and text in mass quantities. So add the words that you talk in a day with the words that you text, that you email, that you write in a letter, and that's a lot of words put together. That's a ton of words. Anyone know the children's song, "Oh, Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See"? One of the later verses, it says, "Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say." And now you all have it stuck in your heads, right? Well, that song goes perfectly with our study today, as the book of Proverbs warns us to be careful with our mouths, with our tongues, with our words. And when you look throughout the book of Proverbs, one of the main emphases is that our words have power. Our words have power. Think about the difference that one word can make. So think about "do not" and "do" is only one word, but they mean completely opposite things. But even the way you say something can change how things come across. So we can tell if someone's having an attitude with us when they talk to us. Or we can tell that they're being very kind when they talk to us. So think of the phrase, "Where were you?" So it can be said in a genuine way of concern, like, "Where were you?" Or in a mean way, "Where were you?" Or even the phrase, I love you, can be said very unenthusiastically, like, oh yeah, I love you. Or it can say genuinely, I love you, right? And you can tell the difference by their attitude, by their tone, of the way they say it. But interestingly, also, is even the grammar that we use can change something. Think about the small comma. It can make a difference. Think of the disparity between let's eat grandpa or let's eat grandpa, right? Punctuation saves lives. One comma. So the only difference in that sentence was the comma, but that comma made an enormous impact on grandpa, right? Commas save lives. So with the slight addition or the slight subtraction of one word, one comma, one change of tone, our words can alter a situation. They can change a relationship in an instant. All of those examples show us that the words we use, even the way we use our words, is powerful. It's very powerful. And this power, as we see in Proverbs, can be used for good or for bad. And so we see in Proverbs is that our words can either hurt ourselves or help ourselves. Look there down at Proverbs 18, verses 6 through 7. It says, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. So the foolish person's words lead to conflict, to fights, which can lead to getting beat up. So his words, his or her words, lead to trouble, to ruin. So they come into this situation thinking they're big stuff with their words, but their lips end up being this trap, this snare for their own soul. So our words can hurt ourselves when we use them foolishly. And we actually are inviting unnecessary conflict into our lives. Now, of course, we all face trials. We all face hardships. But this verse is pinpointing unnecessary trouble. We could call it self-inflicted trouble, right? So this is trouble that if you would just keep your mouth closed, it wouldn't have come. But it was self-inflicted. You have escalated things with your words. Proverbs 10:10b says, a babbling fool will come to ruin. 10:19a says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. And I'll be stating different verses. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But our foolish misuse of words can bring trouble upon ourselves. They can cause sin in our lives. How much do you actually think about that truth? That your words you say can bring trouble upon yourself. There are people who lose their jobs over words. I think some of us have seen that. There are people who ruin their lives by their tongue. There are people who get in fights because of their mouths. And your wrong use of words can invite this needless trouble into your life. So be careful with your mouth. You see, our words can hurt ourselves, but they can also help ourselves. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. So as you can see, in contrast to the flippant use of the tongue of the fool and the trouble that it can bring, the proper restraint of your tongue keeps you out of trouble, out of needless trouble. Turn to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, 13 and 14. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. From the fruit of his mouth a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. So again, you see this contrast. Contrast between the evil man's snare-creating, transgression-causing lips and the righteous man's freedom from trouble. he escapes from trouble. But then also in verse 14, you come to find out that the fruit of our right use of words actually benefits ourselves. It says we are satisfied with it. The fruit of our mouth satisfies us. And what that means is that it brings benefit back upon us, good back upon us. And it kind of brings this reward upon yourself. So you are reaping the sowing that you make with your wise lips. And this is the way that God has generally created the world to work, that foolishness brings trouble, wisdom brings blessing. And I say generally, because we know there are always exceptions, but Proverbs works in the generalities of life. And you see that throughout the whole book. So just think about, look at a person who was reckless with their words, and then look at someone who's very wise with their words, and you will see a difference. You will see a difference. One hurts himself, the other helps himself. One has all this trouble in life because of their reckless words, and the other one has more of a blessing away from the needless trouble, the self-inflicted trouble that they have. So do your words hurt or help yourself? Do your words bring needless trouble into your life or blessing? You see, our words, they can hurt or help ourselves, but then we also see in Proverbs that our words can hurt or heal others. Turn to Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So the tongue can bring either great harm or great blessing upon other people. Words can cultivate life or bring death to a relationship, to a community. You see, your lips can produce the greatest good, but yet also the greatest evil. They have the power to affect what is eternal at times. Think about how words can change people's beliefs, attitudes, life trajectory, for good or for evil. Think about how words can break up friendships. There are some prior friends who never talk to each other again. They can break up family relationships where something hurtful was said and years upon end they don't talk to each other. Sometimes they die without ever talking to their sister, their brother, their mother, whatever it may be. Whoever it may be. Churches are divided and sometimes brought down because of words, because of the mishandling of the power of the tongue. Proverbs tells us of the hurt that lips can cause. Evil use of words causes trouble. It destroys neighbors. Proverbs talks about how it's like a scorching fire that spreads strife and separates close friends. And as you can see, evil speech is like a wildfire that just gets out of control, and it brings this division, it brings brokenness, it brings messed up relationships. You even think of James talks about that. He talks about how the tongue is so little, but it's like this fire, causes so much damage. Think about words spoken penetrate deeply within us. Proverbs tells us the perverseness in the tongue breaks the spirit. So twisted and false words, they can actually discourage and dishearten and demoralize people. They break, they crush, they fracture your spirit. Words can either tear us down or tear others down or lift them up. But not only that, Proverbs 12:18a says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts." Think about a sword thrust. It's piercing, obviously. It's penetrating. It's extremely hurtful, sometimes deadly. So rash words penetrate deep within other people. They pierce. Extremely hurtful. one another. Have you ever had someone speak to you and say something so hurtful that after they say it, you're just like, wow, ouch. It's like almost like you got stabbed. That's what Proverbs is talking about, is our words can pierce like a sword thrust into other people's lives. That's extremely powerful, but in a very bad way. But then you think about it too, there are other times when our sinful words may look good, but actually they cause hurt. Proverbs 29:5 says, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. So his or her words may be flattering, but they're deceitful because they're like this net spread. So what they're doing is they're taking advantage of you. They're flattering to butter you up, right? And then it's for some ultimate goal. It's like this net that they spread. So it sounded good, it looked good, but actually in reality it was sin. It was more damaging than you think. Words can penetrate to the deepest part of a person. Many times we don't think about the extreme hurt, the extreme pain that verbal abuse delivers upon its victim. It's extreme. We don't think about that usually, right? Some people are still affected to this day by words spoken in their childhood. To this day. That's how powerful and painful words can be. So there's power in words, as they can hurt, but yet on the flip side, they can heal. And Proverbs talks about that. 12:18b, the tongue of the wise brings healing. We're told that a gentle tongue is a tree of life. So it can bring healing to the brokenness that sin brings into people's lives. We are told that the tongue can be a fountain of life. 16:24 says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Our words can be sweet. They can be healing to those who we speak to. Also told that anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. So do you see the power of a good word? So here's a person, and he's just overwhelmed with anxiety. So it says he's weighed down. And that's what anxiety feels like. It feels like this weight that just keeps feeling heavier and heavier down upon you. And then all of a sudden, someone comes in with this good, encouraging word, and it just makes you glad. It lifts your spirits. Have you ever been, sad and you start talking to somebody in your conversation and they encourage you and you just like walk away? You're like, wow, I'm so much happier now. It's like a good word spoken makes us glad. That's the power of a good word. That's the power of words, that they can heal. We must not forget the great healing power that our words can possess. Our words can hurt, but they can also heal. Just think of the joy or the sorrow found in a letter written to you. It can either make you very joyous or very sorrowful. Think of the encouragement that can be found on even social media like Facebook, where you can be encouraged by what someone said, but then you also see the opposite. You see division. You see fighting. All on Facebook and words on social media. That's the power of the tongue. You see the two opposites every day. So think about your own life. Do your words hurt or help yourself? Do your words hurt or heal other people? How is your handling of the power of the tongue? So the tongue has power, but the difference is how do you handle it? Do you use it recklessness to cause trouble, or to use it for good, for healing, for uplifting people? So our words have power, but we also see, and Proverbs makes it clear, that our words should have certain marks. Our words should have certain marks. So these are the characteristics that come out in the book of Proverbs of what these are characteristics of our words should be. And trust me, they're going to be very challenging, as they were challenging to me as I studied. And so looking at this book, there are four major marks that come out, and I've kind of created an acrostic for you to hopefully easily remember them. And it's the word star, so S-T-A-R. If you want to be funny, you can turn it into rats if you want. I mean, go ahead, but we're going to use star this morning. So what's the S in our star acrostic? Soft. Whoop. There we go. A little out of order, but it's all right. So soft. So Proverbs teaches that our words should be soft. That is gentle, tender, calm. So we shouldn't be harsh with our words. We shouldn't be quarrelsome, hard with our words. Think of the most popular verse related to this is probably Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So here's a situation where there is a strong potential for anger. There's some sort of tension. There's some sort of conflict that has come into two people's lives. And what makes the difference is either a soft or harsh word. And in reality, doesn't it take self-control to give a soft answer? It really does, a lot of self-control. Because the easy thing to do is to give a hard word, a harsh word. That's what comes naturally to us as sinners. So how does a soft answer then calm down this tense situation? Because it soothes and calms the listener. So it's thoughtful, it's gentle, it's compassionate. And obviously this soft answer speaks the truth, but it does so in love, in a loving way. And we see in that verse 15:1 that the opposite is a harsh word, which stirs up anger. So you think about a harsh word in this type of situation. So you got this tense situation, and giving a harsh word is like throwing a match into gasoline, into a barrel of gasoline. It's like, swoof, you know, stirred up anger. It's like you just escalated things. One commentator said this about this verse: soft speech is like oil on bruised skin to soften and heal it. Painful speech has the effect of oil poured on fire. So things were on edge, but now you just made it worse. Think about a clear biblical example of this. You think about Nabal's words, which made David angry, but then Abigail's words calmed him down. And so you see just a clear picture of soft, gentle words. Proverbs 17:27b also shows how our speech should be soft. It says, "He who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." So this man of understanding has wisdom, and this wisdom leads him to be calm when he talks, guides him to speak wisely. So to have a cool spirit is someone who is calm, cool, and collected, even in the most intense circumstances. And you think about it, the opposite of a cool spirit would be a quick temper, a hot temper. So gentleness should mark our speech. Does it mark yours? Too often we are quick-tempered. We don't have that cool spirit, but a hot one. But just look at what Proverbs says. It shows us that softness actually diffuses tense situations. It diffuses them. It shows us also that soft speech demonstrates that you are wise. Think about that. So when you are not gentle in your speech, if you are harsh, you are not being wise. So we are told to be soft, thoughtful, compassionate when we talk to people. Oh, if we were more gentle, what a difference it would make in our relationships with other people. We also see the second mark in Proverbs is truthful. Now, this one's a little bit more obvious. Yeah, we know we should be truthful in our speech, but do we actually do it? Proverbs says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It says, lying tongue is but for a moment. But then on the opposite, it says, truthful lips endure forever. God always speaks the truth. He never lies. So in our conversations, in our word, there should be no deception. There should be no dishonesty. No matter how hard it is to speak the truth, we speak the truth. No matter what consequences may come, we speak the truth. But it also, when you think about it, think about compliments. Are you truthful in your compliments? We should not exaggerate in order to flatter, but we compliment out of sincere delight in what is good. So we delight in what we see is good, and we just compliment truthfully. We don't over-exaggerate to flatter them. Likewise, what about this? When you're telling a story, do you inflate it? Do you over-exaggerate what happened? If you do, you're being deceptive. You're being dishonest with actually what happened. So we need to be truthful. Because if we exaggerate in our speech, we're not being truthful. We're being dishonest. So we see those first two marks, soft and truthful. And they could really be summed up in the New Testament verse, speak the truth in love. So the truth, but also in love. So gently and softly. So we have S-T, and then the A would be apt. So our speech should be apt. Apt is that what is suitable for the circumstance, that is what is appropriate. So a wise person not only knows what to say, but when to say it. Turn to Proverbs 15:23. It says, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in a season, how good it is. So to say the right thing at the right time is a joy. It's good. To say the right thing at the wrong time is unhelpful, sometimes hurtful. So you might be saying the right things, but it is the wrong time to say it. Now, we all inherently know that there's times where certain conversations are appropriate or inappropriate, and it all depends on the circumstance. It all depends on the situation. So making jokes is not suitable for a tragedy. We all know that. You know, it's a time to be sad. It's time to be sorrowful or to be compassionate towards those who are sad. So also on the opposite side is a time for rejoicing is not a time of rejoicing in someone else's life is not a time for you to say how horrible your life is. It's not. Often our speech is not appropriate in situations because we don't know what to say. But sometimes it's better to be quiet than to say something unsuitable. You know, as a pastor, you have to deal with a lot of sadness in people's lives. You know, people lost a loved one or going through illness. And sometimes it's just time to be quiet. Just be there with them in their sadness. You know, there's times you encourage too, but sometimes it's just knowing that you're there. It's important. But yet we think, oh, we have to have all the answers. We have to have all the answers. But sometimes it's suitable to be quiet, to be silent, and to weep with those who weep. But also our speech is sometimes not suitable in situations because we aren't really being thoughtful. We aren't being compassionate. We aren't being loving towards someone else. But actually, we're thinking about ourselves. We're self-centered. So if you think about someone that just hit a home run, it's not time for you to boast about all your past home runs, right? It's like they're enjoying this moment. Rejoice with them. You know, you don't have to one-up them. It's a time to simply rejoice in their accomplishment. If someone's going through a trial, it's not a time for you to declare how worse you had it in the past. Just care about them. Be thoughtful, be compassionate, be loving toward their situation. You know, it's not always easy to know what to say. It's not easy to know what each situation calls for when it comes to our speech, but it is important. It shows that you care, that you love others. So may we grow in our speech. May it be more appropriate, more suitable for each and every situation that we come into. And then the R in our star acrostic is restrained. Oh, isn't this one a hard one? Restrain speech. How many of us have opened our mouths only to regret it? I think we all at some point in our lives have done that. It's like, wow, I really shouldn't have said that. Or even, I really shouldn't have said it that way. But Proverbs is big on restrain your lips. And in doing so, you're showing wisdom. Proverbs 13:3 kind of gives us an overview of that truth. It says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens his lips comes to ruin. So think about your mouth, think about your words. Our lips should not be an ever-open door where every single thing on our mind comes out. It should be a guarded door. So we should not blurt out everything and anything on our minds. Sometimes the best thing to do in a situation is to keep your mouth closed, to not say anything. Because Proverbs somewhere else tells us, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So restraint of your words shows wisdom. Loose lips show folly. And unrestrained speech brings so much more sin, because you're just saying whatever's on your mind and you're hurting people left and right, and it's not good. I think about there are typically three situations where it's most tempting to not have restraint. When there's juicy gossip, when you're angry, and when you want to look smarter than you are. Those three are big. We need to be restrained. But get this, Proverbs tells us that a fool, it's interesting, it says a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. You know, so he may be a fool, but he's not, you know, running his mouth, and he's like, wow, he kind of looks wise, even though he's not, but he looks intelligent. Because he's not in this situation blurting out in all this foolish stuff. We are way too quick to speak before we know. In Proverbs 18:13, it says that if you give an answer before you hear it, it's your folly and shame. So by speaking before you know everything, you're doing the opposite of actually what you want to accomplish. So usually we speak before we hear everything because we want to look knowledgeable. We want to look, oh, like we're in the know. But what happens is you look foolish, because more things come out and you're like, wow, I shouldn't have said that. You know, everyone's like, why would he even say that? He didn't know everything. And so when people look back, it's like, now that we know everything, he looks foolish. Because we're so quick to not have restraint on our words. The gossip factor also comes into play when it tempts us to not to restrain our speech. But Proverbs 11:13 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. So when you have no restraint in your speech, you're not trustworthy. People can't trust you with confidential information, with secrets in their lives, with intimate details. In another place, it shows us that someone who doesn't keep things confidential is not seeking love, but they're separating friends. Are you someone who can be trusted with confidential information? Are you someone who talks about people nonstop in gossiping ways? Oh, may we all have restraint in our tongues. Look at the damage it can cause. Look at the sin it can do. Look at the relationships that it can split. Don't spread gossip. Don't speak before you know all the information. Don't say things that you're going to regret. And all those things require restraint. Restraint of what you say. It takes thinking before you speak, not speaking before you think. Isn't that easy to do? You speak before you really thought through things, and you're like, oh, that wasn't good. Think before you speak. And also takes love. Love before you do this. And ultimately, it takes wisdom. So as you think about the marks of wise speech, remember STAR, star, soft, truthful, apt, and restrained. So we learn the power of our words, the marks, but also the source. Our words have a source. So our words don't just pop out of thin air. They come from somewhere. Yes, our vocal cords create the sound, of course, which then we form into words. But I'm thinking deeper. I'm thinking deeper. Our words ultimately come from our hearts. Not the organ that we have in our body, but the way that the Bible speaks of our hearts. The ruling center of our body, of our whole person. It's the heart is the source of everything that we do. The center of all activity. Proverbs 16:23a states, "The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious." And judicious means that our speech is characterized by good judgment. And this good judgment ultimately comes from our hearts. But then you think beyond Proverbs. Even Jesus talks about this, Matthew 12:34. "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So our speech flows from our heart, and so our speech shows our heart. We are told to keep our heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So as you think about your battle for the power of the handling of the tongue, focus on the heart. That is the source of foolish talk, of unwise talk. How do we do this? Obviously, by growing in our walk with the Lord, by being more Christ-like, by relying upon God's grace. Think about the Word of God is what sanctifies us, which changes our hearts. And so dig deeper in His Word. And when we love God more and we study His Word more and we gain more and more of the wisdom of God, and our speech is changed. We absolutely need the wisdom that comes from God. Without it, we are babbling fools. The wisdom from God gives us these characteristics that should mark our speech. I mean, it's not an overnight project. So don't think, oh, one night and my whole speech is going to be changed in an instant. But it is a change that can happen when we lean into the Lord. When we dig deeper in His Word, when we rely on God, when we ask for the wisdom of God, our speech is changed to be wise speech. Think about Christ as our ultimate example of someone whose speech was always wise. It was always good. So go to Him. He will help you. And obviously there could be so much more said about our words from the book of Proverbs, but keep this big point in mind. Your words can make a huge impact on yourself and others. Your words can make a huge impact on yourself and others. Our words have power for good or for bad. They can hurt or help ourselves. They can hurt or heal others. So wield its power with wisdom. Use it for good, to encourage, to heal, to build other people up. And many times we don't realize the impact that our words can make on ourselves or others, but they make a huge impact. And our words should have certain characteristics: soft, truthful, apt, and restrained. So let's not be harsh with other people. Let's not be dishonest in what we say, or one who talks unsuitably in situations, or one who is a motor mouth. Ultimately, our words flow from our hearts, so guard your heart. Dig deeper in His Word. And every single one of us has used our words in a wrong way at some point in our lives. So this topic, as you think about it, our words, really hits us right in the heart. It really hits us right in the gut, because it reminds us, a big reminder, that we are all sinners. We are people who have cut other people deeply with our words. We have spread gossip. We have been untruthful. And it kind of pushes us to be like Isaiah, who, after seeing the glory of God, he said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But thanks be to God, who sent His only Son to die on the cross for our sins, so that we don't have to stand before God condemned by our sinful lips. But we stand before God forgiven. For as the burning coal touched Isaiah's lips and his sin was atoned for, so by faith in Jesus Christ our sin is atoned for and our guilt is taken away. And if you haven't trusted in Christ and His work on the cross, do that today. Be forgiven. Be made alive by God. For those of you who have trusted in Christ, continue to rely on Him for your speech. Focus on your heart. Grow in grace. Depend on God. Seek the wisdom that comes from God. Earnestly ask for wisdom. And when you fail once again, rest in the forgiveness found in Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are reminded once again that, yes, we are sinners. We've all used our words in hurtful ways, in penetrating ways that have hurt ourselves and other people. I pray that there's someone here today who has used their words to hurt others, that they would seek forgiveness in You, that they would make things right with that person that they hurt, that mend that relationship. I pray that we would all depend on You as we fail and fail once again, it seems daily. Help us not to be ultimately discouraged by that, but help it to push us back to the cross, where we rest in the forgiveness found in Christ's blood. In Christ's name, amen.